Engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you and with your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Anyone who loves me will be true to my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling place with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine. It comes from the Father who sent me. This much have I told you while I was still with you. The Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will instruct you in everything. And I remind you of all that I told you. Peace is my farewell to you. My peace is my gift to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives peace. Do not be distressed or fearful. You have heard me say, I go away for a while, and I come back to you. If you truly loved me, you would rejoice to have me go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I tell you this now before it takes place, so that when it takes place, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, brothers and sisters, once more, a happy Independence Day to all of you who are celebrating here in the United States and to all who love our country throughout the world. We are celebrating a great and significant day with great and significant meaning for our lives, for our future, for our church, for humanity. Because this is the day when the United States Congress ratified the Declaration of Independence. It was declared actually on July the 2nd, and on the 4th, the Congress ratified it, and so it became our first founding document. The Declaration of Independence, still at the bedrock of our nation today. It was the Declaration of Principles as to what our founders were doing in establishing this country, what they believed, what kind of government, what kind of principles that government rested on. And approximately a dozen years later, the how-to document came into effect and was ratified, the Constitution of the United States. So the Declaration states the principles. Here's who we are. Here's why we're doing this. And then the Constitution talks about here's how we will carry out practically from day to day and from generation to generation, the functioning of our government. These two documents together stand as the basis of all of our laws here in this country. And here's the fascinating thing. Out of some 195 countries throughout the world, how many of them are operating today on the founding constitutional documents that they had when they began? And you know what the answer is to that question? One of them, the United States of America. 244 years ago today, that declaration that was ratified still is our Declaration of Independence today. And as I said, about a dozen years after that, when the Constitution was ratified, it is still our Constitution today. That cannot be said by any other country, including the Vatican City State. Their constitutions, all of all these different nations, have changed as the generations have gone by. Here we have a unique situation, brothers and sisters, where our founding fathers declared on this day some self-evident truths for which they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Some self-evident truths based upon God, setting up a nation, not primarily taking its identity from geography, not taking its identity from ethnicity, a politics that was not identity politics, but principles. Principles that they declared on this day. Principles that transcend, actually, the existence of any nation or the authority of any government. Let's read it again, and so that we know what it is that we are celebrating here. This Declaration of Independence, less than 1,500 words. Here we have again this marvelous assertion. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with one another, with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. So here we have our founding fathers separating themselves from the King of England. And then they go on to say, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to effect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light or transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. And then the Declaration goes on to list a series of abuses that the King of Great Britain was guilty of. Brothers and sisters, we often learn in school, well, the Founding Fathers did what they did because of taxation without representation. Well, that was one of many abuses that they listed here in this declaration. And they boiled down to an insult to human dignity. You see what you can clearly see coming across in this declaration that we celebrate today, this nation whose founding we rejoice in and give thanks for today, is the key principle, which is exactly what the church teaches, exactly what the gospel teaches, that government, no matter where it is, when it is, or how it is structured, exists for the service of the human person, not the other way around. If humanity, if men and women, if human beings exist to be subservient to some kind of government power, If their rights depend on whoever it is that's in power recognizing those rights or not, or granting them out of the largesse of their hearts to whatever conditions they want and to whatever degree they want, that's called tyranny. The dignity of the human person, the freedom of the human being, is secondary to the power of the state, whether it be a king or a Congress or a court. No. Our founders precisely objected to precisely that abuse, that this king was going beyond the bounds of his proper authority. That's how you can sum it up. He was going beyond the bounds of his proper authority, both in the exercise of government, in how he was dealing with laws, in how he was dealing with courts, in how he was dealing with the distribution of powers, going beyond his legitimate authority and not respecting the dignity of the human person, a dignity that our founders on this day, that our Congress ratified on this day, the declaration that those rights come from God. That's why this nation is founded on not a geography, not an ethnicity, on an idea, on a principle, on a vision, on an assertion of liberty and human dignity. And they said it was self-evident. You know, a self-evident truth is one that you don't have to prove by means of some kind of logical syllogism. A self-evident truth is a truth which, when you say it, it's clearly true. That all men are created equal. That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That word unalienable means that nobody can take them away from us, including any government authority. Nobody can dilute or edit or delete them. And we cannot even throw them away ourselves, because these rights belong to us just as clearly and plainly and permanently as our humanity belongs to us. Certain unalienable rights, among which, what's the first one they mention? Life. Because without life, we have no other rights, no other freedoms. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that governments are instituted to secure these rights. Brothers and sisters, why is it that some 1.2 million people come in legally through immigration to the United States of America every year? Why is it that no other country brings in more immigrants than we do? Why is it that millions and millions of others are waiting to come in? This is a country which, throughout our glorious history of 244 years, we have been a beacon of hope. We have been a light, a shining city on a hill, attracting people from every part of the globe. Why is it that we attract people from everywhere? It is because of what I just said, a country founded on the principles that human dignity knows are self-evident. And why is it that those who vent so loudly their hatred of America never seem to leave? We've got these Hollywood celebrities and these other rabble-rousers and people who try to look for the spotlight in a thousand different ways and express contempt for this nation and its history. Well, what's, nobody's holding them back. They don't like it? Well, like I said, there's some 195 countries in the world. Fact of the matter is, you're not going to find a better place to be. But they never leave. They complain, but they don't vote with their feet. They stay right here in the country. That, again, this is a small but loud minority in a country that they seem to despise. And this is why this year, the 4th of July celebration has to be one that we celebrate even more boldly and proudly than ever before. Because we have a movement afoot in this country right now that is based on the idea that this country is not good but bad, that our history and our founding were not rooted in these beautiful gospel principles. By the way, there was no book that more shaped the thinking of the founding fathers and even shaped the structure of the government than the Word of God, the Scriptures. And if you want to learn more about that, here's a book I recommend to you. It's called Original Intent by my friend David Barton, who is the president and founder of a group called Wall Builders. Original Intent will give you a very clear idea of the religious convictions of our founders and how they believed that as they founded this government of the people, by the people, and for the people, that it could not succeed unless those people were rooted in religion and morality. Indispensable supports, our first president told us, for the governance, the self-governance of our people. You can't govern yourselves unless you know the right direction to go, and you can't know the right direction unless you know right from wrong. And you can't know right from wrong without religion and morality. So we have some who, instead of recognizing the bedrock and good principles on which this nation is founded and the upright intentions of our founders, want to dismiss and erase our entire history as something that is wrong and evil and corrupt. Once again, I say to them, well, then go found a country yourselves someplace else if you think you can do a better job. We are living at a time when the disagreements among us are not simply the very legitimate disagreements that even the founders worked out between themselves and set up a mechanism for working out through the deliberative process, through the legislative process, through the courts, through the process even of being able to amend the Constitution, although that is not easily done. Nevertheless, the possibility is there. So they foresaw the need for adjustments with changing times. They foresaw that citizens would disagree about policy, and they set up a way to work out those disagreements peacefully while adhering to the same Constitution. They found out a way of having a peaceful transition of power. And we have had a peaceful transition of power all these 244 years. We have had rough spots, as any nation will. But once again, we're the only one that's still functioning today with our founding documents. This system of government that they set up, brothers and sisters, is rooted in the Word of God. The very fact that there are three branches of government which have checks and balances on one another, none of which has absolute power, and all of which can be reined in by the other two, is based on the conviction that human nature has been infected by sin, weakened by evil, and that anybody in power and in authority is going to be tempted to be corrupt. So the system of checks and balances is there for a very good reason. The system of accountability to the people, to the voters, is there for a very good reason. And it's a reason that we know not only from experience, but from the Word of God. These men were convinced that every human law has to be subject to the law of God, and that the law of God alone is eternally valid. This was the foundation that they laid. This is the foundation on which we continue to build today. And that's why we celebrate our freedom. When we are indeed rooted in the conviction that rights are given to each person from God, not from government, that is the basis for freedom. We are free because we're pursuing our destiny in God, We are free because as sons and daughters of God, our voice matters in the public arena. Remember, these founders were fighting against, they were literally rebelling against and declaring themselves independent of a king who was usurping his authority, who was slipping into despotism and tyranny, more than slipping. They enumerated all their grievances. And this was an assertion of the dignity of the human person. President Ronald Reagan gave us a famous warning about the duty to be vigilant and to protect freedom. Let me repeat this well-known quote. "Freedom," he said, "is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day, we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States, where men were free." We've got to make sure that doesn't happen. And that's why the celebration of our independence, as Paul said in the first reading of today, the offering of prayers and thanksgiving to God with peaceful hearts, when we see the good that He has done, is not just a celebration of thanksgiving. It's the acceptance of an obligation. It's the renewal of a commitment to fight for that freedom and to hand it on to our children explicitly. My friend and colleague Gary Bauer sends out daily messages, and including an Independence Day message, and he often says these words, which I'll quote from him. He says, you know, enjoy the holiday, celebrate it in all the different ways that you will enjoy. He said, but take some time to remind your children about the meaning of this and your grandchildren. Remind them, he says, about the sacrifices at Bunker Hill and Concord Bridge that were necessary to create this nation and secure our freedoms. Tell them about the courage of George Washington crossing the Delaware River on Christmas night. And our friends over at the Centennial Institute sent out an email about Independence Day, and I want to read from that too. This 4th of July, they said, read the Declaration of Independence with your children and grandchildren. Teach your children America's promise of equality. Teach your children the Constitution's promise of limited government. Teach your children that unalienable rights come from God. Teach your children to stand for the American flag and the national anthem. Teach them to fight injustice on behalf of the vulnerable. Teach your children American history. Teach your children to honor our soldiers, law enforcement, and first responders. Teach your children that freedom isn't free. Teach them to read the Bible and live holy lives, to love God and their neighbor, to sacrifice for others. Teach your children to be proud Americans and to celebrate the 4th of July. And I speak to all of you from other nations too. We are your brothers and sisters. We want to defend your freedom and your dignity as well. Our destinies are intertwined, and the principles our founders in America recognized are part of the great heritage that all humanity shares. It's about human dignity. That's why they said at the end of this declaration, I read the beginning of it, then they have all the grievances about unlimited government power and arrogance and tyranny and plundering our seas, ravaging our coasts, burning our towns, destroying the lives of our people, things that the king was doing. And then they conclude in this way, we therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. And then they go on to enumerate additional freedoms, and then they say, for the support of this declaration, and with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Friends, as we celebrate, we commit to do exactly the same. We are at a point now where our nation is about to have an election that will determine whether we will continue to adhere to these founding principles or not. That's how consequential this year's election is. Because that's the divide in our country, not between simply different ways of achieving a common goal. It's between opposite goals. It's between those who recognize that we have to continue to advance the principles of our founders, or those that rely on some kind of godlessness and anarchy of their own design. That's the choice. That's the crossroads that we have arrived at. On the dollar bill in our currency, there is a pyramid among the various symbols on the back of the $1 bill. Take a look at it today. It's a pyramid with an eye at the top, the eye of God. Notice how many times the Declaration of Independence, ratified on this day, mentions Almighty God. And with the eye of God on a pyramid that is yet unfinished, because the work has to continue in every generation, as President Reagan explained, the words at the top say, "Anuit Cheptis." He looks favorably on our undertakings. These men under fire issued some self-evident truths today, and they built this great nation on those truths, but we continue building. And I'm always fond of recalling that our Star-Spangled Banner, our national anthem, in its first verse, ends with a question. And that question, well, it summarizes the work that we need to do. It says, "Oh, say, does that Star-Spangled Banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?" It's a question, because we've been committed with a task. It's a question because the greatness of what we have inherited brings a great obligation to carry it forward. And the principles that our founders laid out are the principles we must both live and defend and teach. Oh, say, does that Star-Spangled Banner yet wave? Are you still standing up for the right to life? Are you still fighting for the dignity of the person who cannot be owned by anyone else, who cannot be ruled over in tyranny by anybody? Are you still fighting for that freedom? Are you still sacrificing? Are you still pledging your lives, your fortunes, and your sacred honor? Are you still building this country of freedom and human dignity? And thanks to your commitment, thanks to our commitment together, we can say with peace in our minds and joy in our hearts today that the answer to that question is yes. It still waves. We are still free because we are still brave, because we are still convinced under God of these sacred principles. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings in the past, as we prayed in the opening prayer, and for all that with your help we must yet achieve. And achieve it we will, because our founding fathers didn't start out with a conviction of their own power. They started out in this declaration of independence by declaring their dependence on Almighty God. And so do we, as we worship Him in this Mass. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of freedom. May we live it and proclaim it all our days. Friends, happy Independence Day. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.